I'd like you to take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. And I'll be reading from verse number 26 to the end of the chapter, verse number 40. Acts, chapter 8, verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or so of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the privilege we have to hear from you. We thank you for your great sacrifice on a rugged cross that has made our lives worth living. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an awesome God, for being a great God to us, even when we were unlovely, unworthy, yet you gave your life for us. Lord, I pray today as we look into your word that we will be receptive to what you have to say, with that everyone on the sound of my voice would receive your word with gladness. That you give me the words you'll have me to say. Empty me of self, cleanse me of sin, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would use this time in a special way to accomplish your will and purpose in every heart and in every life. I will be careful to thank you and praise you for all that you will do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. With the advancement of technology in our world today, internet searches have become a regular part of the lives of most people. Search engines like Google have practically become a daily part of our lives. In fact, computer scientists are constantly at work to ensure that the ability of these search engines continues to meet the rising demands of all those who access them. Internet Life Stats is a statistic company that registers the rising demand for accessing these sites such as Google and Yahoo and Bing, search engines that are regularly used throughout our day. And they have assessed that, as it relates to Google in particular, around, listen to this, 5.5 billion searches are done every day on Google alone. Over 63,000 searches are done every second. Imagine that. There is an insatiable appetite for information in this generation. There's always a search that's being done. And I will submit to you that sometimes this information for some people is very dangerous, because you get people who have no medical background trying to assess their medical condition on Google. You listen, no matter what it is, find it on Google. That's the way in which our world has really gravitated to this desire for information. And such we have the rise of what is called today fake news. Before you actually consider it verifiable, listen, find out whether it's fake or whether it's real. Everything that you find on the internet is not true. Amen? But that's not the message for today. However, with all of the internet searches that are done in this day and age, we should not conclude that searching has only become something that is done with the advent of the internet. Man has been searching since the beginning of time, and man has been searching for truth ever since the very beginning. This search for truth has led to many endeavors and initiatives, but these endeavors and initiatives have been triggered by man's longing desire to find truth. To find truth. I want to preach a message today that I've entitled "The Search for Truth." The search for truth. If you want to find truth, where do you go? Do you go to Google? Do you go to Yahoo? Do you go to Bing? Where do you find truth? I'm convinced if we were able to find truth today, we would solve these world's problems. But let me submit to you today categorically that the search for truth is found in none other than the Word of God. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You want to find truth? Look no further than the Word of God. In our text, in Acts chapter 8, we have the story of a man who was searching for truth. He did not have the internet. He did not have an iPhone, but he was on a quest for truth. And in this message, we want to examine how his search for truth evolved. He was searching, he had a longing, and there was a desire to be able to find truth. And in this quest for truth, we can really learn some lessons about truth. Let me say this to all of us here this morning. God wants you to find the truth. Amen? He does not want you to be wandering aimlessly. The search for truth. If you're taking notes, I want you to notice, first of all, the desire for peace. The desire for peace. Now, in large part, actions and behaviors are determined by desire. Desire. Now, naturally speaking, desire is triggered because of something that is missing or lacking. Now, you stay with me here. Desire is triggered by something that is missing or lacking. When individuals wake up in the morning, most people, I would assume, head for the kitchen. Because there is a desire to eat because they are hungry, hence the name breakfast, because you are breaking the fast. All right? If you are full, your desire goes away. That's the reason why, probably not here in Nevis, because food is so expensive, but there are places where you have what you call all-you-can-eat buffets. And these all-you-can-eat restaurants, they are very profitable because they have made a simple conclusion that, listen, no matter how hungry you are, and no matter how much you like to eat, there is only so much you can eat. And eventually, you will get full, and your desire to eat will go away. Now, some of you here, you're like, boy, I want to get my hand on one of those restaurants. I'll put them clean out of business. Now, I promise you, listen, there's only so much you can eat. I see my brother in here smiling because I'll give you a little story about him and my other brother. And when we had recently moved to Virginia, he and my brother, my two brothers, came to Virginia. And you know, we're not accustomed to all-you-can-eat buffets here in Nevis. And so we set them up. We said, you know what, we're going to take them to this all-you-can-eat restaurant. All-you-can-eat. Listen, and they were so excited. They went to this all you can eat. And listen, they probably attempted that we're going to eat this place clean out of business. Listen, they ate so much. But guess what happened? Before they left the restaurant, they had to go to the bathroom. They were vomiting. They ate too much. They were full. They were trying to eat past the point where they had no desire. Why? Because after you are full, you have no desire. There is only so much you can eat. Desire is a very powerful thing because it determines behavior. But this desire to eat, listen, it's a very powerful thing as well. Yesterday we had, as you would know, and you would have heard in doing the announcements, an all-church cleanup. And we had probably by all accounts, I don't have all the historical records, probably the best attendance for an all-church cleanup in the history of Shiloh Baptist Church. And you know how that happened? Because those of us who understood how the power of this desire to eat, we decided we're going to have the breakfast before you work. But there was a method to the madness. Because we knew once you give the breakfast first, people are going to come. And then when you tell them, listen, the judgment of God is going to be on your life. If you leave, then you have them hooked because they have to work. Because they don't want the judgment of God to fall on them. So they came because of the desire to eat. The trick is out of the bag now. But it's going to work next time because once you put the food, they will come again. The desire to eat is a powerful thing. Amen? Johnny cakes and saltfish. Listen, the best Johnny cakes in the Federation. Bar none. Listen, that's how powerful desire is. And it even results in people being punctual on time. Why? Because once you say breakfast is going to be over at 8:30, people don't want to miss. So people who are late all the time, all of a sudden, they're early. Desire is a powerful thing. The desire to eat. The desire for money. Let me ask you, how many of you, by the show of hands, you just love your job? You love your job. They love their job. Listen, most hands are down. But I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, the majority of people who work, they will be on their job, whether they love it or not. You know why? because there is a desire for money. Listen, that's not a bad thing. The Bible says if a man does not work, neither should he. But look at how the desire for eat is coming back up again. You're going to work on Monday morning with a desire for money so that you can eat. This thing about desire is a powerful thing. Actions are influenced by desire. But in the heart of man, there's a void. And this void triggers a desire for peace, for happiness, for fulfillment. And as a result, people are searching to fulfill it. Sadly, many seek to fulfill this desire for peace through money, through alcohol, through drugs, a relationship, through partying, through fame, through religion. And in our text, we have a eunuch who was searching. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was here in his chariot reading a scroll. Clearly, he was a wealthy man to have possession of such a scroll. This was not the day and age where every person had their own personal scroll. If you had a scroll, you had to be wealthy. But clearly, even though he was wealthy, he still had a void. People, sadly, are searching in all of the wrong places to fulfill this desire, this longing for peace, for happiness, for joy. May I submit to you this morning that peace and joy is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." In the search for truth, it is initiated by a desire for peace. But secondly, I want you to notice the divine placement. The divine placement. In verse number 26, you notice that this man was in the middle of a desert. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." This eunuch was found in a very remote place. Typically, this would be an unusual place to be. After all, a desert is not a place where you would expect to find many people. But here was this man in his chariot on his way back home. But thank God, no matter where we are, God knows. Amen? No matter your background, no matter your past experiences, your economic status, your social status, God knows who you are and God knows where you are. He knows where you are, physically speaking. But he also knows where you are emotionally. He knows where you are mentally. He knows where you are spiritually. And he knows that you are searching for something. He knows that you are longing for lasting joy. He knows that you are longing for fulfillment. And here's the good news. It is God's desire to fulfill your longing. It's God's desire to fulfill your need. This man was divinely placed. He was in a place where God knew precisely where he was. In his search for truth, he was divinely placed. He had a desire for peace. But notice number three. In the search for truth, there was a devoted person. A devoted person. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Philip. God knew that this man was searching, and he spoke to his servant Philip to go precisely to the place where this eunuch was. Now, it's very important that we understand that God uses his people to be able to accomplish his will on planet Earth. And in using people of God, it is important that the people of God are devoted to the cause. And Philip was devoted to the cause, and he responded in obedience to what God said. Amen? In verse number 29, notice, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And look at Philip's response in verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him. Philip possessed a great sense of urgency to do what God had called him to do. So many times God nudges our heart to do something and we dismiss it. But God's work requires a sense of urgency. God was clearly at work in placing Philip in this man's path. Recognize that God divinely orchestrates for people to cross your path so that you can find and know the truth. Make no mistake about it. It's no accident or coincidence that you are here in a Bible-believing church on a Sunday morning. That's a divine appointment. And there are devoted people who are in your life as God's representatives so that you can know and learn the truth. Amen? It's very important that we are able to recognize these people. Recognize when God allows your path to cross with someone who is his representative for exposing you to the truth of God. If you don't recognize these individuals, the danger is that you'll take them for granted. The danger is that you will dismiss them from your lives. And you will miss the impact that God is seeking upon your life. Philip, upon encountering this man, had discernment and wisdom in seeking for an opportunity to engage him. Look at Philip's response when he says here in verse number 30, he says unto him, understandest what thou readest? Philip knew that God had a purpose for him being there, and he had discernment in seeking an opening in engaging him. Notice as well the receptiveness of this man. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So many times God is using individuals to enlighten you. How can I learn the truth of the Word of God? How can God, God wants to use an individual to help you to grow in your walk with him. It requires a receptiveness to that individual. This man was very receptive to this person. Here he was wandering and seeking the enlightenment of the truth of God's word. And he desired Philip that he would come and help him. There was a devoted person in this search for truth. But notice, number four, the direct preaching. The direct preaching. This is a very critical stage in this search for truth. God worked in Philip's heart and pointed him to the place where he wanted him to be. Philip, I want to use you in a special way to be able to help this man who's searching for truth. And when Philip encounters this man, he finds out that this man is reading in the book of Isaiah. And as divine providence would have it, he was reading in Isaiah, where it says in verse 32, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. As I'm looking here, I recognize that even before direct preaching, you have divine providence. Because that's precisely the action of Almighty God. You think it was a coincidence that when Philip encounters this man, he would be reading precisely at the place where he's speaking of Jesus and his death and his sacrifice prophetically on the cross, which had already taken place. Listen, God works in people's life to expose them to the truth. If you don't know the truth, God wants you to know the truth. Amen. But look at Philip's response. I love this. Verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, what? Jesus. Amen. He didn't preach his own opinion. He didn't preach philosophy. He did not preach politics. He gave him Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who can fill the void. Brethren, when it comes to preaching, we ought to preach Jesus. And in preaching Jesus, we ought to be direct in preaching Jesus. When it comes to preaching, give it straight. Don't water it down. As a preacher of the Word of God, I'm not a motivational speaker. Now, preaching Jesus will do a number of things. And there are times when, in preaching Jesus, you will be motivated. However, my job is not just to motivate you. My job is to preach Jesus. And if preaching Jesus motivates you to serve God, then bless God. But we are to preach Jesus. And to preach it directly. Amen? Philip preached Jesus. In my short time of pastoring here, amazingly, coming up on 3 years in pastoring, and we've been back here now 3.5 years, I've recognized something. And it's simply this. Get this. If you don't want something to change, don't preach about it. If you want it to stay the same, listen, abandon it from your preaching. But if you want something to change, you have to preach about it, and you have to preach what thus saith the Lord about it. Don't go so quiet on me, brethren. Preaching ought to be relevant to our lives, right where we are. This is not something new, but it continues to be amazing when you hear individuals say, the preacher is preaching on me. You know why that's amazing? And every time you think that, here's something that you ought to think. Now, am I the only one in this entire congregation to whom what he just said applies? Listen, the reality is that is highly unlikely. So if it applies to you, just say, well, listen, if the cap fits, wear it. But hello, there are other people who it applies to. So it cannot be just you. That would be a waste of the pastor's time if he spends an entire message thinking just about you, and then lo and behold, when he comes to church and sit down up here, the person didn't even come to church. You waste the entire message of one person, and they chose that Sunday to stay home. Listen, you have to preach the Bible, whether they like it or they don't like it. Because sometimes they're going to like it, and sometimes they're not going to like it. And inevitably, everybody is never going to like it. So forget who's going to like it and who's not going to like it, and preach Jesus. And once Jesus likes it, everything is all right. Listen, if the preacher had to worry about who it applies to and who it doesn't apply to and who's going to be upset and who's not going to be upset on a Sunday morning, I'll have to stand up here, and when they say, "Pastor, it's time to preach," amen. Let's go home. Thank God for the preaching we had today. That's what you would have to do. Preach a silent message. But guess what? We're not going to get any silent messages at Shiloh. We got to preach the Bible and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Philip preached Jesus. That is so critical in the search for truth. There was direct preaching. But notice, number five, the defined process. The defined process. Verse number 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Philip said, "I just preached to you Jesus. But in your search for truth, things have to be done in the proper order. The proper sequence. That's what preaching does. It points us to the right process. All roads do not lead to truth. So that's why it is so important to preach the truth. Brethren, it's so important that you listen to truth. Not every message is a Bible message. Many messages use the Bible, but every message is not biblical. Just because I boil an egg and I boil it to perfection does not make me a chef. Everybody who opens the Bible and proclaims what appears to be the word of God is not a biblical message. It is not the truth of the word of God. And in this defined process, this man made a request to be baptized, and Philip indicated to him, you got to get something straight first before you're baptized. Baptism has to follow belief, brethren, not precede it. That is why, by the way, infant baptism is unscriptural. A baby has not yet reach the point where he or she understands in order to believe. But once you believe, after that, you can be baptized. By the way, that belief also needs to be the right belief. You have to believe in the right way. You have to, first of all, believe with all your heart. What was he supposed to believe in with all his heart? What Philip just preached to him, that he preached to him Jesus and him crucified. Brethren, there are many baptisms that are unscriptural because they have followed wrong belief. And so if I get baptized, or if you get baptized, and it's based on the wrong belief, your baptism is unscriptural. If you get baptized believing that baptism saves me, if you get baptized believing that baptism is a work to get to heaven, that's unscriptural baptism. If you get baptized believing the wrong way, Your baptism is unscriptural. Baptism is to follow belief. Baptism is to be based on the right belief. There was a defined process. But notice number 6. There was a decision pending. Verse number 7. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. He put a condition here. He told him, listen, here is the process, eunuch, but the ball is in your court. I can't believe for you. You have to believe for yourself. You have to make a decision to be obedient based on what the word of God said. Oh, how I wish as a pastor and as a born-again believer that I could believe for other people. Oh, I wish I could believe for my own children. But they have to believe for themselves. It has to be a personal thing. So many people are in churches week after week with this decision pending. May I say to you, the time is now. The time is now. Today is the day of salvation. If you were to hear his voice, harden not your heart. The time to be saved is now. The time to be baptized is now. The time to surrender is now. The time for service is now. But it has to be a personal decision. No one else can make it for you. Thank God that this eunuch made that decision. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Make no mistake, this was not just a head belief. This was a heart belief that triggered different behavior. Belief affects behavior. And if belief does not affect behavior, that belief was something with a problem with it. There was a decision pending. But thank God, because he made the right decision. Finally, number 7, there was delight provided. Verse number 39, the Bible says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that he saw the eunuch no more. And he went on his way, doing what? Rejoicing. That void which was in his heart for all these many years was now filled. Praise the Lord. There was joy in his heart. There was peace found in Jesus. If so many knew what they were missing, they probably would not put it off. I encourage you here today, make a decision for the Lord today. Do it now. Don't put it off. You're missing out. That void is there for Jesus and for him alone to fill. It's not going to be found in money. It's not going to be found in fame. It's not going to be found in a relationship outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. The evidence is there to see. You see people with millions and millions and billions of dollars at the end of the day, disappointed, disillusioned, on their deathbed, recognizing, I gave my all to this endeavor, void of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here am I, concluding, it simply was not worth it. There's a search for truth. There's a longing in all of our hearts that was placed there by God himself. And this search for truth, there's a desire to fill it. But it's only going to be filled with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you searching today? Are you longing? Have you found what you're looking for? Outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that void will continue. But I trust today in your search for truth that you will find it in the one who is able to satisfy your longing, to satisfy your need. To search for truth, I trust that you will find what you're looking for
in Jesus Christ. It's available. The time is now. Don't put it off. God wants you to know truth. And let your search be over today if you don't know him as a personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak to hearts in a very special way. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and how your word is truth. And in the search by this Ethiopian eunuch, that it's very clear that your divine orchestration and your working to help him to find the truth. And just as you were working divinely to help this eunuch find the truth, you are still orchestrating and navigating and causing individuals to be exposed to truth, whether it's through a church, whether it's through an individual who crosses their path. You desire for us to know the truth. I pray that you would work in a special way today. And as your truth has been proclaimed, I pray that individuals will make that decision, not procrastinate, not put it off, and not delay. Thank you once again for the power of your word and the truth of your word. Bless you in a special way during this time of invitation. And if there's someone here today who still searching on that quest for peace, for happiness, for joy, that one will find it in a relationship with you. Take full control during this time of invitation. Bless. May you be honored and glorified. Magnify yourself. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.